Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight, still a TV networking, second day. Man, these network issues. Anyway, someone was asking if they can send a long question through email. Don't hesitate, I always check my emails. like right now, I'm checking my email. Okay, they say I have some message from... Okay, well that... yes, I will be checking my email anytime and never hesitate to send me an email. Lendalt Guntram says, Degeneracy American style, congressional candidate Mike Itkiss just announced his political race by releasing a full-blown sex tape with porn star. Yeah, that is bizarre. A Democrat politician who's publishing a porn video. I didn't know it was a porn star. I thought it was like his wife or whatever. I'm not interested at seeing a Democrat politician having sex, an old man. She seemed the girl. I haven't watched the video, but I've seen the photo on Fox News because they put it front page. That didn't seem very interesting in terms of porn watching. I'm not going to watch the Democrat porn. I will not live in the pod. I will not eat the insects. I will not watch the Democrat Party's porn productions. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight is Ask Me Anything, chill show. Val sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I saw you use pre-search. Do you like it? Have you signed up to collect the tokens? I'm wary of those systems that claim to be decentralized so that you can be fully tracked in peace. Yes, I've been asking for suggestions for a new browser, and Val suggested pre-search, or maybe it wasn't you. I think someone suggested pre-search. I've been kind of liking it. It's kind of annoying. There's three publicities at the top that are very annoying. I'm sure there is a way to kick them out, but I haven't found that yet. But in terms of searching and finding what I want, it delivers. So I may stick with pre-search. Yes, it is now my default search engine. I decided to give it a couple of weeks of trial. And because I'm pissed at DuckDuckGo, I asked Alex Jones pictures to DuckDuckGo, and it showed me some picture of an English woman named Alex Jones. I was like, are you kidding me, bro? This is not serious. And DuckDuckGo has been on the public space stating that they would be woke, they would modify manually their search results to be more SJW. Absolutely ridiculous. You lost my customership. You lost my business. So yes, I'm enjoying pre-search. I'm not sure still if it will deliver, you know, over time, because I need to have some specialized searches before I find, is that search engine good for me? But up to now, it's been delivering. If you get used to the three big ads that are annoying at the top, you know where the actual result is, and it's been delivering on this. Val says, I have a feeling you generally don't like to pay for usual internet stuff, but personally I tend more and more to not want to be paid for my data. I'd rather pay, even a substantial amount, for a service/system/infrastructure that can assure me I'm not tracked, be it email, browsing, signups, etc. Yes, I guess I understand that there is a price to pay to get a good service, and there are certain things that I've been dealing with special providers where you pay more and you are guaranteed to not have your information used. That being said, on the everyday basis, I don't mind that much my information being used, so I will not do this for everything, but sometimes I have a specialized task and I want full anonymity for it, so I know. For example, the server that I have right here in my studio, I didn't want this server to be traceable. So that means you have to do a couple of things. You need a reverse proxy. You need an email service that doesn't catch the IP of the email server. That is a tough one, but there are some. And so, and they are pretty cheap. So I paid for that kind of service because you pay like $100 and you have it for 5 years. So I pay for that kind of service. That being said, to me, the overall tracking, like if I use a GPS and Google is tracking me to conclude that the people spend on average 7.2 minutes at the McDo, I don't mind that much. It's not hurting me all that much. So you have to be conscientious and you have to do what you feel comfortable with and know what you reveal and know that you're okay revealing it. Aerospace says, will you ever expand your horizons into shirts of different colors? Chances are low. I've been wearing same color shirts since I'm 12 years old, approximately. I was known in my school as the guy with the purple shirt. Now, as you've seen, I've gotten old and I went for gray eventually. Anyway, purple is, it was a very dark purple, you know. But purple doesn't come out very good on the camera, especially if you have a background that's brown and gray. You don't want to be dressed like purple. Even a dark purple will flash the camera. So that is the story of my shirt. And yes, I've been making good use of this shirt. You know, it's been having its whole run. And no, one day I will just buy another shirt of the exact same color. The religious question sends a super chat. He says, "Hey JF, do you also think that Daryl Brooks is getting some help? For example, NGO leftist liars, do they have a long game?" He might be getting some help, but I would see it as an individual who has taken it upon himself. I don't know why there would be particular interest in helping him defend by NGOs. If you're suggesting that there would be kind of an anti-white conspiracy, I don't think they would go as obvious as helping the guy who killed white people. That would sound very bad. But who knows? You know, I can't exclude the possibility, but that's not a hypothesis I work with. I received a super chat during the night. Evolutionary carpet salesman. The evolutionary carpet is a term that sometimes we employ in my discussions with Fadam. And it's complex. The evolutionary carpet, I'm still not sure what it is, but it is when you think of the world at different replication level, where you would have RNA, of course, protein, RNA, DNA, and perhaps the quantum replicator. You can think of the upper revolutionary phenotypes as living onto the carpet of the lower. Let's say if the quantum replicator does exist everywhere in the universe, well, then DNA is living on a carpet, the carpet of the 3D quantum field replicator, if quantum Darwinism is true. Anyways, that's to explain his nickname. Now, he says he's an evolutionary carpet salesman, and he says, "I want to help you help out your big supporter that you call white. He wants it pronounced wha. You're welcome, white. Okay, well, thank you so much for your donation. And yesterday I had a super chat asking me to watch Mad Max Fury Road. Well, I have watched the movie and I'm ready to deliver my thoughts on it. By the way, Hermit M, I have not received an official response from Odyssey yet. I think they might be low staff on the weekends, so perhaps Monday. But in any case, I'm on the case to make sure that your super chat doesn't get charged twice. Unless, and if it ever happens that they can't fix it on Monday, I will send you a PayPal. I will send you back your second super chat via PayPal. So contact me on Discord, Hermit M, so that I know your PayPal address if you have one. Because I got some money in my PayPal account and I want to get rid of it because who knows with PayPal. Ariel Suarez has a super chat before I talk of Mad Max. He says, "Jeff, I'm quite intrigued by your definition of right-wing and your brand of libertarianism. I've been thinking about it ever since you brought it up last night." Yeah, well, I There was someone who asked me to lay out my beliefs on, so I've laid it out on Arguably. I will find you the link so that you can see my text. Basically, this sums up how I come to libertarianism, why I think of it, and in what way I think of it. Here, I'm putting the link in the chat. So yeah, my brand of right-wing libertarianism. Right-wing, left-wing to me is a question of the size of the state, because inevitably there is no such thing as a state that doesn't oppress your rights. Even if the state goes slowly or it goes subtly, any dollar that the state spends is a dollar forced out of your pocket. And as such, all of the actions of the state are oppressive and they are violating the NAP. So to me, that is that is the definition of right wing versus left wing. One moment. Now, in the modern times, the right wing has been so diluted that at this point you have most right wingers are statists. Most people who identify as right wingers are statists. But to me, that's a contradiction in terms. To me, you are left of center if you believe there should be a state. And if you believe there should be a state that does anything else than apply the law, that is, apply non-aggression principles. So that puts everyone basically in the left category today, except the libertarians. So to me, to be a true right winger, you have to be against any sort of state, except that you can realize that there won't be laws and rules if the state isn't there to implement them, and that private security forces will inevitably be erroneous. Like, what do you do when a private security force kills someone else and says, well, he was threatening us? How do you resolve this? Well, you need some kind of a state to handle the resolution of this. So that thing, to me, is the state that I allow as a minarchist. I think there should be a small state to make sure that society does not decay into absolute anarchy, where basically, liberties exist no more because you can get killed by Walmart if they don't like you. So that's pretty much it. He says right wing equals smaller government versus left wing big government. Yes, I would agree with that. So once you have a small government minarchy and it applies a kind of law and the laws are all extremely limited and that. You cannot have a law that says the state is now giving hospital services to people. You can only have a law that keeps people from violating the liberties of other people. The rest must be handled by the market. Now you have to have a recognition that the state is a bubble, and that if you let anyone in that bubble, they will come to ruin it. So you'll see in my text that I've written on arguably.io that I believe that there are some people who are unfit to even understand or respect in any way the social contract. And if you let them enter your bubble, they will create such state of fear and use of force against you. Even if they eventually get arrested, they will pollute your life in a way that is an aggression in and of itself. I believe that there are people who are unfit to understand the social contract and respect it. Those people must be kept out of the libertarian bubble. And the way we do this is simply by having strong borders and by not making citizenship an easy thing to get. In fact, in my view, a fully formed countries simply shouldn't have immigration. Now we can discuss about some special cases of people having a wife or a parent out there, but the problem is if you let too many of these special cases, you get chain migration no matter what. So I believe that someone must have in this society an option to leave, an option to opt out. And what I suggest is that any sort of service, even if we keep the services of the state at a minimum, let's say police force, judges, firemen, maybe, you would still have had to have the option of opting out of any service offered by the state. You could say, well, I don't want to have the firemen at my house. I don't want to have... whatever else the state is offering, although the only thing you cannot opt out of is a respect of the laws of violation of consent and violation of someone else's property. So you cannot opt out of having the police arrest you if you commit a crime, but that's basically it. The reason I want opting out is I want people to be able to use that liberty in society and not become parasitic forces draining the energy of others. The problem is you start offering a trash service and the trash service becomes bigger and bigger. Eventually, it's the only way you can ever get rid of trashes. And this cuts down competition. And eventually, the tax collector takes a little more money for the trash service, a little more, and eventually becomes a big state. So to keep this from happening, every single service must be paid for by the consumers. In other words, if the states organize the service, it must still be a private corporation that has ins and outs, that will crash if it fails, that will have competitors potentially show up to take your trash instead of them. So by allowing competition even within the services, the few services that the state gives, you ensure that people can opt out, that the state will not grow infinitely, and that if it ever grows to an unacceptable degree, it's just going to be the money of people being wasted, but you'll have the choice not to waste your own money in this. So that's how I see a libertarian society. An individual has the right not to have this society applied to him, but then he must be put outside of the borders of the libertarian bubble, because the libertarian social contract is one that you benefit from if you're inside the society. And in exchange of your benefits, you must pay back. And the way you pay back is by engaging in the free market, not conspiring to establish a state, not conspiring to establish communism. So that's very much in line with Hans Hermann Hoppe, the idea of physical removal. If you are conspiring to establish a communist government, we cannot keep you in because you are threatening the stability of our bubble of liberty from which you benefit also. That's a little bit of the problem of our societies, that they let the parasites in. So if you let the parasites who fight against your own order, you cannot maintain that order. They will eventually grow and eventually beat you. Unpaused says, but the fire at your house will burn the adjacent house. You have to stop the spread. There you go. A stop the spread argument. Here, we're going to have a special rule in the libertarian society. If you do a stop the spread argument, you are physically removed. Raised Fist says, Jeff, what about the owners of Maison en Rangée that would opt out of fireman service? Well, if they want to opt out, but they will have civil liability for what they do. And you would guess that the person building a Maison en Rangée, a lined up house with multiple other houses, will have included a contract with whoever owns which parts. They will all be, all they have to do is agree on a contract that binds them forever to take the fireman service. Now, if you're a builder of that kind of houses, that's all you gotta do. Just impose the contract, and to whoever you sell it, they will be bound by this contract. But see, I want the person who builds that kind of maison arrangée to be punished if they don't take the fireman service. So I want them to burn. Firestarter says, Jeff, is it right or left to be in favor to export financial slash value out of a country for individual profit. I mean, it is agnostic with respect to the right or left. However, the left, because they like big state for the purpose of redistribution, they often take issue with any sort of enrichment. So they take issue with profit. They want to take that profit and redistribute it to others with the state. So I guess that right-wingers would probably be more pleased by this suggestion. Cornex says, but tracking down conspiracies would require security service apparatus. Well, yes, and I say the state would have a minimal police force, but not any more than needed to apply the law. Charles Garrity says, who is the most impressive person that has influenced your life? I would say Euclid and Richard Dawkins, the two biggest influences on my life, Euclid and Richard Dawkins, separated by about, 2,500 years. Philosoraptor says, Fury Road is one of my favorite movies. For those who liked it too, watch Waterworld again. It's pretty much the same plot I believe the movie was inspired from. Yes, there is a strong... strong Waterworld vibes coming from Mad Max, Fury Road. I am very happy that Hermit Hem suggested that I watch this movie, because it is a very good movie. It's not one of these stunning, excellent movies. It's not Interstellar. It's not one of the biggest movies of the history of civilization. But it is absolutely fine. There are some very fine movies on IMDb, and Mad Max Fury Road is one of them. Unfortunately, my first exposure to the Mad Max universe was the first Mad Max, and oh my god, is that a terrible movie. It is not even funny, not even interesting, it's not even understandable. I do not understand the original Mad Max. I'm like, those are just random homeless people driving on the highway. What the fuck is happening? But here, Mad Max Fury Road, that is a properly written movie with a plot. It's satisfying. They present a totally insane world. It's a world of waste and of destruction. It's a post-apocalyptic world. And it's so exaggerated. Just to give you an idea of the kind of exaggeration, it's the evil guys are riding on super gasoline-boosted trucks, and they use kind of nitro boost into their engine that they manually blow into the engine to boost the speed. You know, it's a very, very carbonized world. And these guys, as they race to go capture the protagonist of the movie, they have a guy who's rolling on a pickup truck with basically maybe 30 feet high speakers, like speakers that you would expect on a show on a stage, like musical speakers all the way, multiple feet. And there's a guy standing on a platform and he's playing metal guitar. It's like these evil people are so wasteful that they're spending gasoline on carrying their guitarist. And the guitarist, Dead Star calls him the blood bag guitar player. So he has something on his face. Maybe he's blind. I don't know. The guy is just playing guitar. He's playing guitar for the evil guys to be able to ride and capture people. Philosoraptor says, Fury Road has such amazing sense of humor. They do. It's interesting, and it throws you off in terms of the movie. You know, there's these beautiful girls at some point, and it's like the girls in this are like a resource that is totally captured and kidnapped. Very interesting. And Everything is so exaggerated. The big evil guys, they have pickup trucks with super long spears, and they have guys balanced at the tip of those spears so they can jump onto your truck while they drive and they can kidnap you. It is so exaggerated and so pushed. I really loved it. I love the parallel universe invented here. In a post-apocalyptic wasteland, a woman rebels against a tyrannical ruler in search for her homeland with the aid of a group of female prisoners, a psychotic worshipper, and a drifter named Max. And there's the idea of universal donors, and it's very Darwinian. It's very Darwinian in terms of the world they created. Total Grimm says it's just a rehash of the second film. You can't comment on Mad Max if you haven't seen the second film. Well, let me tell you, the second film is, I don't know, is it as old as the first film? Is it in those years? Because I have great difficulty getting interested in films from those years because they tend to be terrible, terribly made. And I need some kind of quality. I need something made in the 80s if it's very good, like Terminator, but mostly in the 90s. I don't think that cinema before was interesting enough to give full justice, even if they had written a good script. It wouldn't be interesting to me. Silver Spider says bad guys are always into metal in these movies, never hip hop or pop. Yeah, it is, and that's why it's so comedic to see it, because at this point they're carrying the guitarist with in a post-apocalyptic world where everything is rare, somehow they have resource to power these big speakers on rolling trucks. I liked it. Thank you so much, Hermit M. That was one movie that I couldn't go watch without a trigger from the audience because I was so disappointed with the first, but this one is good. I really thought we were up next. Climate change crisis next. Then us. I love the extraterrestrials are pissed off. They thought they would be the next big conspiracy theory making it to the mainstream. But no, we have to do the climate change coverage for the next 5 years before we get to the UFOs again. It's very interesting because you saw a little push for UFO release and UFO transparency and UFO coverage in the mainstream, but it lasted like a couple of weeks and then they gave up. Well, the extraterrestrials are not happy about it. The last battle of the Belarusian militant group Volad. The footage shows the commander of the National Battalion, Ivan Marchuk, with the call sign Brest, who was killed. So that's a video from June, I believe, but I just realized that it existed. And we see scenes that were happening in Luhansk region as the Ukrainians were fighting against, they were trying this counter-offensive and they were getting pushed back out by the Russians. So apparently this is a force of Belarusians, although Belarusia is more or less on the side of Russia, but those are renegades of Belarusia who decided to join the Ukraine side. Now it won't go well for him, he's gonna die. That's how much you yell when you get bombed. I don't know exactly what happened. He may have gotten bombed on the lower part of his body, he may have lost a leg. We've heard a big boom and he started yelling.
Oh! Oh! Ah!
And one of his friend appears to have just been shot. Well, you hear not just the boom, which the boom, you hear it from a lot of places, but you hear the boom and then the, I don't know if it's bones cracking or maybe just dirt making it back onto the ground. But yeah, this is the end. That away, it's most people who will be on the front line. They will die. They will die, and in this case, joining a cause of another country. In this case, because it was the militant group Volad. Well, apparently this battalion has been eradicated by the Russian forces. I often tell you to be blackpilled and to expect to be disappointed by the news. And I'm disappointed in Elon Musk. You know how he's been saying, hey, we cannot keep paying for the Ukraine satellites that we've been giving for free. Someone needs to pay for it. I see all these big corporations, Boeing, military corporations of all kinds. They get these big billion-dollar contracts from the US, and I'm giving free cell service that they would charge you 10 times more than me if they gave it to Ukrainians. But I'm doing it for free and I need some money. What does he do? After a day or two of complaining from the Ukrainian blue check marks, to hell with it, even though Starlink is still losing money and other companies are getting billions of taxpayer money, we'll just keep funding Ukraine government for free. Absolute cockery. Elon, you have to make it so that your words are worth something. Because if your words are just your emotions of the day and you cannot stand by them, eventually no one will care what you have to say. They will know that it's just Elon Musk. He's saying anything. You had taken a strong position and that was justified. You are being insulted by the very people you're helping. And they're laughing at your face. I mean, someone was sharing, there's a kill list. There's a Ukraine kill list with Elon Musk on it. And you're helping them? It's unbelievable. How cocked do you have to be to the American Empire for you to continue doing this just because you feel there's something moral about it? And the best answer came from an interaction that Elon Musk had with Kim.com. In other words, you will continue your support for the US proxy war in Ukraine, despite your better knowledge that this is a US proxy war and the risk of a nuclear war because of the US proxy war, and we are supposed to believe that you will fix Twitter. How utterly disappointing. And Elon Musk answers to this, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, guess I'm just damned. Kim.com answers, extremely relevant. He says, I love you, Elon. You know that. Many people look up to you. I believe in you. We are facing nuclear war because of reckless US foreign policy in Ukraine. You know that. This is a big one. We have to put our personal interests aside for the sake of humanity. I know you love humanity. And Elon Musk says, I'm trying my hardest to de-escalate this situation and obviously failing. And Kim.com again with the perfect reply. He says, you're not failing, Elon. Quite the opposite. Your call for peace has given a lot of people hope. I almost gave up with my efforts to educate people about the massive risk humanity is facing. Then came your peace tweet. It re-energized me. Be a force for good. Let's stop this war. Elon has to understand that it's not that he's failing at implementing peace. It's that we are faced with a bunch of people in the American government who do not want peace. They want war in any form, and that's how they prefer it. So no matter if Elon Musk had come up with a genius idea for peace, they will just have fought it even stronger because they don't want peace. Elon Musk is being used, is being insulted publicly, and he just learned that he was on a kill list. Eva Karen Bartlett publishes this website where Elon Musk is on a kill list. And it's an official Ukrainian website. I mean, it's the Ukraine's mirrored Boretz. So it is not the Ukrainian government, but they say, we are publishing these as enemies of Ukraine. Of course, they're not saying we have to kill them. They're saying they are enemies of Ukraine. And look at how they reacted to the death of Daria Dugina. They added a red bar to her picture and they noted her as liquidated. So it seems to me, based on these arguments, that it is indeed at least interpreted as a kill list. Nodeless Cushion says it's a fake picture, he's not in the list. Well, I don't know. Is it demonstrated? I would like to know, how do you prove this? Because Eva Karen Bartlett was publishing these images. I don't know. I'm looking at the Twitter thread. I see nothing calling it out or showing that it's fake. You would have to... It was on the list for a couple hours before they erased it. Ah, okay, so he's not on the list anymore, but he was for a moment. Interesting. I didn't know this. I tried going to the website. It's all in Ukrainian. I understand nothing. So there's no way for me to verify it personally. But if someone understands Ukrainian and can sort out what were the facts and when was it that he was on the list, I would like to know. Elon Musk describes the problems that he's facing with the Russian attacks of his satellites. It has required a lot of resources. Going into super lockdown mode slows down new development progress, as we have to resist attacks from a sophisticated adversary actively at war. So yes, Elon kind of is testing his technology on the war field. Perhaps it's not the best idea. Perhaps you want to establish the technology as working for civil purposes and then see how you can defend against attacks. But yeah, they talk of signal jamming. I don't know exactly how that works. Is it radio signals? Is it laser pointed at the satellites? I don't know how it works. I'd be fascinated to know how is Russia jamming those signals, but that's what he's complaining about. Doubting Thomas says, JF, came across IRL, a variant of your argument regarding morality and how taxicab geometry points to the way axioms and assumptions lays doubts on universal truths. My objection is that this is a red herring, as you don't hold such universal truths at the same standard as universal truths anyway. I'm not sure what you mean. Truths exist within spaces of axiom allowed coherence. And that is just how we define truth and how we approach it. As a consequence, truth needs a truth checker to be established. The truth checker is a brain, it's a cognitive organism, maybe a computer in some instances. But there needs to be an agent that tests for truth and keeps a track of what is true. And they will keep track of what is true based on some condition. That condition can be an axiom or it can be an empirical observation. Therefore, there is no finite being who is in a position to demonstrate the truth of a universal truth. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, as universal moralities anyway. Again, in the domain of morality or in the domain of mathematics, there will have to be axioms supporting what you consider to be true or to be moral. And no matter what these axioms are, they are subject to alternatives. The logic table exists. Alternative logic table also exists. Why do we stick to one? Well, one of them seems to be delivering results. That's it. So you have to agree to a prior rule to even define truth. Silver Spider says, next episode, JF learns how to speak Ukrainian in an hour. I'm not learning any new language. I'm dying knowing only English and French because I tried learning Chinese when I had a Chinese girlfriend. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's too hard. Way too hard. Not worth it. No. I'd rather have a white girlfriend and speak English and French. I'm satisfied. I've seen enough of the world. I'm ready to die. DOJ sued over refusal to explain zero protection for conservative Supreme Court justices' homes. So they're asking why they didn't send protection to the homes when the leftists started threatening the right-wing justices. Maybe we're going to get some info from it. For now, it's a request to a court. Texas Vaccine Policy Symposium declares unvaccinated people a danger to public health. Are you kidding me? You dare do this when we know that the vaccines have negative efficacy after 3 months? The vaccinated are spreading more. That's what negative efficacy means. The vaccinated are spreading more. They have more infection. So it's not the right time to call the unvaccinated a danger to public health. Surya Loka says, how is the U.S. allowed to call for the taking out of Putin and others? They're not. I mean, you do whatever you want to do. But leaders of Africa would say this about some other country and they would say, oh, I'm going to take off your leader. Then the American government would respond by saying, okay, we're designating you as terrorist state and state at war, blah, 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 and they're going to be isolated. But when the U.S. does it, no one is there to isolate them. No one is there to offer a counterbalance to say, all right, there's going to be some punishment for what you're doing. So ultimately, that is the whole might makes right mentality. This idea that if there's no one in a position to punish you, you can do whatever you want. The religious question sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, could you explain taxicab geometry once again? Well, I don't even understand the details of taxicab geometry. From what I understand, it's a 2D space that's reorganized in a way that there's basically just four directions and it's not like a normal 2D space, but there's just like four directions and it's a unitary jump from 0 to 1. 1 is basically, if I understand correctly, 1 is defined as pi. And so if you make a move of one grid in the taxicab geometry, you make a move of pi units. So just because of this, pi in the taxicab geometry world is an integer. So the only reason I bring taxicab geometry is that many times people will come and say there are universal truths. And one example that they keep coming back to is you cannot square the circle. You cannot make a square that has the same area as a circle, that is known as square the circle. And the fact is, you can't because you have certain assumptions about what geometry is. And if you kick out those assumptions and you replace them with the assumptions of taxicab geometry, then you can definitely square the circle. You can have a 2D shape that is of the exact same surface as a circle. You can have pi through Euclidean geometry in a taxicab geometry world. So that's just what it is. So this is to show that your definitions are a possible world in which something may be true or may be false. And because of this, because definitions can be arbitrarily chosen or not chosen, every possible world can exist, every possible geometry type can exist, and therefore there are no universal truths that you can prove unless you model all of the possible geometries, which we haven't done and we can never do because we're finite beings. Whatever amount of geometry styles you want to invoke, I'm going to be like, okay, you've reached a finite number of geometries. There's probably one more. There's probably 10 more. There's probably an infinity more. And therefore, a finite being cannot claim properly that there are universal truths. He can only claim that there are things that seem true in everything that he knows about. But he doesn't know about everything by definition because he's a finite being. Therefore, he cannot assess the truth of universal truths. Fedosoraptor sends a super chat. He says, how likely is nuclear war at the moment? Relatively likely, but, you know, you look at Putin, I mean, this is the day of cucking. I wanted to show you this other news item. Putin says, Russia does not aim to destroy Ukraine. Russia has already mobilized 222,000 troops with about 2 more weeks needed to conclude the process. Germany is mistaken to be more concerned with its relations with NATO than their own citizens. President Erdogan of Turkey has played a pivotal role in resolving issues such as the exchange of prisoners and arranging the grain deal. You'd have to ask Biden if he's ready to talk to me. I don't see any plans for any kind of negotiation. So Vladimir Putin just doesn't want to destroy Ukraine. How do you expect to maintain a stable situation of military domination if you don't destroy your opponent? To me, that blows my mind. The idea that Putin is such an idealist, he thinks he can let a flourishing Ukraine just meters away from his newly acquired territory, and that this is not going to lead to constant friction, human suffering, bombardings of all kind, terroristic acts of all kind. You cannot have stability until you win. And winning is not just being on the territory for a while. You have to destroy and demilitarize your opponent if you want to win a war. Destroy, like, to the freaking carpet, to the grass. There needs to be nothing elevated above the grass. Now, Putin thinks differently from me. So the fact that Putin thinks differently from me makes it relatively unlikely, with all things considered, relatively unlikely that he has any interest in causing a nuclear conflict. In fact, each of his moves and his statements since the beginning of this war suggest that he's not at all into getting into a conflict of nuclear nature with Europe or America. So that is the situation. Putin will not cause a nuclear war on his own. So if a nuclear war does happen, it will be because of constant provocation and escalation from the US through proxies. Now, Putin has shown that he's willing to see his bridge blown up in Crimea, his Belgorod region attacked from within Russia, and he's still chill. So we're not at the point where you should be worried that a nuclear bomb will explode tomorrow morning. It seems that Putin is overly zen about it all. Papa JF would take a different route. Papa JF knows that the ultimate conflict is coexistence, and as long as something else that doesn't want you to exist exists, the conflict continues. And so Papa JF tends to escalate to de-escalate. But yeah, I would say we are in the most likely times of all to have a nuclear war. But that is still below 1% in my view, in the next year, let's say. Lodazal says, JF, did you cover the Hasidic men who were refused entry to a Western Ukrainian convenience store? Allegedly, it was because the men's restroom was full. That must be. Otherwise, how can this happen with a Jewish president? I haven't heard about it. That doesn't sound super interesting. I'm not going to review this video live. All right, what else do we have? Terrorist attack on Russian military site leaves 11 dead. The 11 dead in the Belgorod region where Putin was regrouping his newly recruited forces is a draft. I don't know if it's a draft. His reservist that he called to the war. And some guys started shooting and they killed 11 people and then they got killed. So that's the situation. That's why you need to resolve wars quick, because there's people who hate you from the inside. There's people who hate you from the outside. Silver Spider says, Papa JF is the total opposite of the World War II French stereotype. No, when Papa JF is a civilian, Papa JF has the French method of survival in the wood. But when Papa JF leads a nation, which will not happen, but when Papa JF leads a nation, he would be taking it very seriously to crush anyone who I've decided was an existential threat to us. Republican calls for Pelosi to probe Biden admin's potentially illegal request for Saudis to delay oil cut. That's true. You know, if Trump had done this, he would be pointed to as using the tools of the government for corrupted electoral purposes. The thing is, Joe Biden asked OPEC to not stop the oil production, to delay it by a couple of months. But that would have just kept America going through the election. So basically, Biden was using his power as a president to try to change the decision of a sovereign entity, and was doing so for electoral purposes. That is indeed, in my view, illegal. And certainly if Trump had done this, there would be yelling of, oh my God, Trump is using his tyrannic powers to get himself elected again. Come Tsar Dumb. Come Tsar's Dumb is the name of a user who sent a super chat on Entropy. It's the come of a czar from Russia. But he's the dump of it. He sends a super chat of $10. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, hey, JF, I cannot fathom the ultimate intentions of leftists like alt-right. Like, alright, you want to destroy the West and white people. Then what? What is the point of being kings of trash dump? If they want power, they already have it. What is the point of this whole malice and humiliation they subject whites to? I don't think you need to look at it from a rational perspective. Of course, if you look at any human behavior from a rational perspective, you're going to find flaws by rational standard. But I think you have to look at it from what led leftists to be like this. And they don't know that there's a brick wall coming. They don't know that there's an end to their mentality. The leftist has been created like this because we have been in an ever improving world in which every advancement was always improving the world for the next generation compared to the last. And every generation, next generation, had better science, had better progress, had better civil rights than the last. Now, from the perspective of the leftists, because from the perspective of the leftists, something like homosexual marriage is a one fight of civil rights. So the leftist has been constantly winning. When you're constantly winning, you don't have to, you can have a blind spot for what are the consequences of infinitely winning. They totally have this blind spot. They don't understand that if your mentality is progress, one day you reach the peak of what it can allow you to grab from the world, and eventually there's nothing left to grab, but you're still a progressive, you're still pumping, you still want more. So it's pretty much the same system as depth, if you will. There's this little space where depth may be useful to accomplish certain things that you would have never accomplished otherwise, like having a house. You may have never had in your bank account the full amount to buy a house, but depth helps you get there. But it's very evident that if you pursue this and you say, oh, depth is always good, eventually you reach a point where it's not reimbursable and you get into bankruptcy. So there's a bankruptcy that will happen of progressivism. You cannot progress all the time. The world is such that you can only progress. This is a law of physics. It's not even a law of politics, but it should. The world is such that if you do anything in that world repeatedly, eventually it stops working. You can increase, you can start running up a hill. At the beginning, it works. It gets more tiring. Eventually, you can't jog anymore. You can't go higher. There is always a limit to a physical system, and there is a limit to progressivism. And the signs of this limit having been attained already are plenty. Just the fact that the leftists are now combating their own reproductive interests, that tells you everything. You've already reached the thermodynamic point of reversal. If your mentality is self-destruction, you do not exist in this universe. So I can tell you right away what's happening. In 1,000 years from now, there are much less leftists than there are today. That is certain. There's going to be lots of suffering until we get there. But it is absolutely certain that there are less leftists in 1,000 years from now than today. Isn't that a white pill? Silver Spider says, I don't know, JF. I think leftists have discovered perpetual motion. Well, exactly, but perpetual motion has its end too. It's not perpetual. That's the trick. Firestarter says, rationality doesn't exist. There's an infinite amount of perspective and hindsight to show any position can be or not be rational. Absolutely. There's an infinity of logical tables to look at the world from. That one family member that refused the vaccine. Oh my God, that is so true. You go into a family reunion and it's like everyone looks like zombies. And there's this super healthy guy or girl shining with blonde hair. Oh no, I didn't get the vaccine. Oh, you got it. Oh, okay. Oh my God. Alaska snow crab season canceled for the first time after a population crash in the Bering Sea. 1 year ago to this week, we pointed out Alaska snow crab harvest cut by 88% after population crash. Okay, so it seems that there's a population crash. Do not expect to put your hand on any Alaska snow crab. It's okay, it's a luxury and it's so much work to fully undo a crab and get all of the meat out. It's a lot of work. It is good at the end. It is very good. There's really no meat that tastes as white as the crab. The crab is this just, it's just filaments of pure meat that don't taste much. So it's not like a beef where you have a big taste, or a pork where you have this big fat taste. The crab filament of muscle is like pure muscle. And it is, it tastes sweet, it tastes sea salt a little bit. It is very good, but it's so long to do cleaning crab, and you get very little meat. It really gets interesting when you have basically 15 crabs. Now you can get a big pile of meat, but you're gonna work maybe a couple of hours to get it out. Silver Spider says, I don't know, Jeff. Okay, this one I read. Me Too says, oh, on a full stomach, you actually see that hill as flatter and the top as nearer / easier to reason science than on a mount tank. Okay, not sure of your formulation. I don't understand, but... Silver Spider says, I've been to an all-you-can-eat snow crab buffet and an all-you-can-eat lobster buffet. They're crazy? They're crazy if they do this? I mean, all-you-can-eat, but do you have to dissect it yourself? Democratic Party moved from uncomfortable to intolerable for members, and this will be our last news item for today. While Democrat voters have been leaving the party for years, their reasons have become more urgent. People were beginning to feel the effects of leftist, communism, Marxism infiltration into our society, our culture, and our politics. Well, okay, that's the founder of the Walk Away campaign, Brendan Straka. If he can succeed in his campaign, I'm happy. But I don't know. Can we really get the Democrats to walk away from leftism? Mama JF says, in what country? The crabs? If they are short in Alaska, I'm suspecting they will be short everywhere. Maybe she's asking to Silver Spider, in what country did he eat an all-you-can-eat buffet? Oh, yeah. Mama JF is a big fan of all-you-can-eat buffet. It's not that Mama JF eats much. She dreams for weeks of going to this crappy all-you-can-eat Chinese restaurant. And then we get there and she gets two plates. But I think it's Mama JF doesn't like her brain being inhibited. She wants the idea of freedom. And I think that's what Mama JF buys when she buys an all-you-can-eat buffet. Because I'm like, hey, she's eating two plates. And she dreamed of it for 2 weeks. She said, Jeff, we need to go exactly there. That's an all-you-can-eat. Although I have to say, one time, Mama JF totally abused an all-you-can-eat. I mean, to the point of ordering things that she couldn't eat. And I was so ashamed. I talked to the waitress and I said, you're going to charge me more. Charge me $40 more, because the way my wife has behaved is unacceptable. She's ordered things that she hasn't eaten. I want to pay you a full customer price, as if someone else was standing on the table. Mama JF is here.
I know. I have a problem with food, okay? Even at home, okay, it's like I always, every day, okay, I make a plate. It's like two times more than what yeah. I eat. And then I put the rest in the fridge after.
It's ridiculous. Mama JF makes piles. Like the plate is a pile. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, Mama JF.
I think it's from my mother did that.
Oh yeah.
But oh my god, why do I do that? I don't know.
That's what we call les yeux plus grands que la pince in French. All right, so we are at the end of the show. Lodazal says, a sushi buffet I ate at long ago required you to pay $5 for each piece you didn't eat. But I mean, at some point you have to do this, because Mama JF was, I'm going to order, 10 of the most costly thing on the menu. And I was like, I'm paying on the side. I don't care. I'm gonna lose some money here, but I will keep my personal ethics. My personal ethics is that it says all you can eat on the window. It doesn't say all you can order. It's all you can eat. And Mama JF, if you can't eat it, I'm gonna pay extra for it. Nicolas Petrus says, JF, I had an idea of what might be a great, the greatest artistic contribution by the English, the golden era output of Rare, the video game company. Donkey Kong Country 2, GoldenEye, Diddy Kong Racing, Banjo Kazooie. Look, GoldenEye was good. Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong. It was popular, but I've never understood why. Never been a fan of it. And if it's really your greatest artistic output, like I played Donkey Kong and I had the impression that this was made by Australians, not English people. Like Donkey Kong is Australia themed. So it's not like they've put much of themselves into this art. Surialoka says, I had sushi yesterday. Keto sushi. So sushi that is only meat. So that's sashimi, isn't it? Much love, everyone. I will see you all tomorrow. And we have a couple of things that have shown up on the calendar, and we have to plan the activity with Patreon. Let's do the Patreon on Monday, the 17th. Patreoning out. On Monday, the 17th, we're gonna have the Patreoning out. Patreon, subscribe, star. Hang out at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And what else do I have on my. Oh no, let's move it to. I wanna have the beginning of the week available. Let's move it to the 18th. Tuesday, the 18th, there's going to be the Patreon subscribe star hangout. There's a crucible debate on CRISPR. Apparently, some guy who says CRISPR is the elixir of life. This will be on Sunday, the 30 of October. I have an appearance on the Mark Collett show. Mark Collett thought I was dead. I thought I had disappeared from the internet. But you know, we lose friends when we lose our Twitter accounts, and I think Mark Collett has lost his also. So we found ourselves back on Gab thanks to an audience member who insisted we should have a show together. So I'll be on his show on the 26th, on the Mark Collett show. 7 p.m. UK time. I'll have to check what time it is for us. Nicolas Petris says, I only brought it up because not long ago you mentioned the English having produced no great art. Yeah, I know that you're bringing it up for this, but not so great. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.